The push for Democrats to seize public office in 2018 is in full force, up and down the ballot and in local state houses. Michigan's current governor, Republican Rick Snyder, is term limited. There's an intense Democratic primary on the horizon, and one candidate running is Sri Tenandar. Never heard of him? Understandable. He's not a career politician. Tenandar is a scientist slash businessman who made millions through chemical companies. He grew up poor in India, came to the U.S., and has been pursuing the, quote, classic American dream, but there's a lot more to his story. Joining us now is Zaid Jilani. He's been writing about Tenandar. His new piece in The Intercept is called A Bernie-Branded Millionaire is Leading the Democratic Race for Governor. He almost ran as a Republican, consultants say. Zaid, nice to speak with you.
Yeah, it's great to be here.
Let's start with Tenandar's origin story. He often speaks about how he grew up in India, this large family had to work to help out. Can you fill in some of the details about his background?
Yeah, so I mean, I think that's a big part of a service campaign pitch, in that he sort of describes himself as sort of a self-made millionaire. You know, he was born in India, he emigrated to the United States. He's often in very poor economic straits during that period, but he eventually started a sort of a successful sort of chemical slash pharmaceutical company, sort of built that to success. The recession hit, and that company went under, but he actually started another company, regained his millions of dollars, and that's a sort of a big part of his campaign pitch, that he knows how to run a business. He knows how it is to live with nothing because he was very poor when he first came to the United States. And, you know, he wants to do sort of the same thing for the state of Michigan, is what he says.
He's a PhD in chemistry, is that right?
I believe so. I can't remember off the top of my head, but something related to that, yes.
He's in his early 60s. Now, when did he start to show an interest in politics?
Well, it's interesting, and that's what really makes the story fascinating, is that he really doesn't have any political record, right? He's never held any type of office. He's never run for office. He's never been involved in any sort of political or social organizations. He has donated to candidates over the years. So going back more than a decade, he's donated primarily to Democrats as well as also to John McCain, who was a Republican when he was running for president. And when I talked to him for this story, he basically told me that the main reason he would ever donate to a politician is if he wanted to meet them. So let's say there was a local senator coming to town. He wanted to meet them, so he'd donate to the fundraiser to go and talk to them. But he explained that he doesn't view those donations as endorsements. So he doesn't have too much of a political slate. In 2016, he did go to Iowa just to go to rallies that Bernie held, that Hillary held, that some of the Republican candidates held. And he told me he sort of has a fascination with American politics. But up until now, he hasn't really been super involved in sort of shaping politics or anything involved with running with office.
So as he began to mount this campaign for office, obviously he had to pick a party. How did that process go down?
Yeah, so it's really interesting. So basically, he announced his campaign, I think, in midway through 2017. Prior to that, in the winter of 2017, he started meeting with different political consultants in the state of Michigan where he's running. A number of these consultants came forward and sort of formed the basis of the story when I talked to them, is that they said that Tenandar at that point had not really declared his party. He wasn't sure what party to run in. He was considering running as independent. He had briefly entertained the idea of running as a Republican. He didn't necessarily know where he was on the issues. And it's interesting, when I talked to Tenandar, he said he never really considered running as a Republican, but that he didn't tell his party to those people when he met with them in January 2017, because, you know, he was waiting for sort of a public announcement on that, which sort of confirms their accusation that he was sort of agnostic about his party, even though he denies that he ever considered running as a Republican. And it also kind of raises, I think, red flags for voters, because the guy really doesn't have any sort of political history, right? So it kind of is a he says, she says situation in that regard.
Was there any conversation in your conversation with him or the conversations with the consultants about him deciding to pick his party based on the election of Donald Trump?
Yeah, there was a little bit of that because, one of the consultants said something like, you know, he was considering running as a Republican, but then President Trump issued the travel ban against seven Muslim-majority countries. And I think, you know, he kind of saw, from the point of view of the consultant, I think Tenandar kind of saw that as, okay, maybe I'm not welcome in that political party, even though he's not from Muslim background. You know, he's also from a South Asian background, which is related And certainly, I think at that point, he started to see maybe he didn't necessarily fit in that party. So I do think Trump kind of pushed him in the other direction. I didn't see any evidence that he was pro-Trump at any point in time. But I think it also gets to the fact that he was somewhat politically agnostic before jumping into this race is what's being claimed.
Now, you interviewed for your story a gentleman named Joe DeSano. Explain to our listeners who he is.
Yeah, so DeSano is sort of a longtime Democratic consultant in the state of Michigan. He works for the consulting firm DeSano Strategies. And he's worked, I think, for a range of Democratic candidates for statewide and in sort of legislative positions.
And did he have anything to do with Tenadart choosing to be a Democrat?
Yeah, well, so DeSano actually met with him. I think he was one of the first people who met with him in January 2017. And, you know, he pushed Tenadart on this a little bit because DeSano only works for Democrats. So mm-hmm. he basically said, you know, if you're not going to be a Democrat, I can't work for you. And he also, I think, DeSano said that he also commissioned a poll for Tenadart to show Tenadart that, you know, running as an independent would be very difficult in the state of Michigan in that sort of political context. So I think DeSano, you know, through those actions kind of was able to be part of the factors that persuaded Tenadart to kind of go this way.
When you interviewed him, Tenadart, did he explain this indecision to you? How did he explain it?
Well, the way that he explained the indecision was that he said that he didn't want to tell any of the consultants which party he was going to run under because he was sort of saving that for a public announcement later. He didn't kind of want to scoop himself, right? Which, you know, as an explanation, maybe less than persuasive to some people because, you know, if you're planning on running for governor and you're, you know, because Tenadart claims that he's solidly in the Democratic camp, he's mostly donated to Democratic candidates, that's his party. But the thing is like, you know, it's not like, for instance, Elizabeth Warren today, you know, she may run for president. The question is whether she'll run for president or not, which party she'll run in, right?
Mm-hmm. So
I think that explanation from Tenadart was less than persuasive than to some of the consultants when I ran the argument back to them.
When you talk to the consultants, did they run by him some of those rule of thumb, die hard, issues that belong to each side? For example, on the right, it's taxes, conservatives.
Right.
On the left, it's abortion rights.
Well, that's interesting because I think, you know, more than one of the consultants told me that they had talked to him about abortion, which was an issue I think that's very partisan, particularly in the state of Michigan. If you're a Democrat, you basically have to be pro-choice. If you're a Republican, most of them are pro-life. And from what they explained was that he was willing to kind of be either way depending on what party he ran under. Now, today, he's, you know, running pro-choice. He's running full Democratic platform. But, you know, it does, I think, for them, it kind of raised the question of, okay, well, what will his principles be if he gets elected governor? Will he, you know, will he waver on this again? Is it a matter of political opportunism? Because, you know, issues like, you have to remember that a governor makes thousands of decisions during their tenure. And many of those decisions are made in private and they're made as part of negotiations, which the public never sees. So I think that's why, you know, a number of the consultants were somewhat confused or even troubled by the fact that, you know, he was willing to be somewhat agnostic on issues like this because then he would be unpredictable in the future.
We're speaking with Zayed Jilani about his latest story for The Intercept. A Bernie-branded millionaire is leading the Democratic race for governor. So we should make the point that the Bernie branding is his own branding of himself, correct?
Right, right. Yeah, he calls himself a fiscally savvy Bernie. And he's strongly courting that vote because you have to recall that Bernie Sanders surprisingly won the Michigan primary over Hillary Clinton in sort of an upstart victory. But yes, that's a brand that he himself has created. Bernie Sanders is not involved in the race at this point for anyone.
Okay. And is he Bernie-esque? I mean, in terms of his positions, is that a fair claim to make?
Well, I do think he has adopted some of the gamut of the Bernie positions. For instance, he is calling for a $15 minimum wage, which is something that Bernie Sanders, as well as the Fight for 15 movement, which is somewhat aligned with the Bernie-type ideology, has popularized. So I think that he's definitely, you know, there's that. He's also, you know, called for a single-payer healthcare system. He's definitely sort of adopted at least a campaign platform or pledge that's similar to Bernie Sanders. I think the question for people is more of, you know, what are sort of his convictions in getting those things passed? So, for instance, when I interviewed Tenadart, I didn't include this bit in the article, but I went back and forth with him a little bit about single payer, And he really insisted to me that he prefers the federal government, like through Bernie Sanders' plan, install a single-payer system. And maybe if they don't, then he will push for that as governor. But you have to remember, this is a very difficult thing for a state to get passed, to administer, to plan out. So if a candidate, you know, a candidate can also throw out a platform, but if they don't necessarily have the commitment to follow it through or plan to follow it through, because I also asked Sonadar if he has a plan for what Michigan's single-payer system would look like, and he says he doesn't have one right now. So that would be, that, you know, it's not just a matter of hitting the issue points, but, you know, Sanders also goes and organizes his colleagues. He puts out bills and legislation. He has detailed plans. So I don't think he's necessarily gone to the point of actually going the full Bernie in that regard so much as adopting the branding of what Bernie Sanders is doing.
But actual Sanders staffers and people who worked for the Bernie campaign are supporting and working for one of his opponents, right?
Right. So there's another candidate, Abdul Sayed. He was the public health chief in Detroit. He also comes from a minority background. He's an Arab American. And he has actually hired a number of Bernie Sanders presidential campaign staffers. One is Claire Sandberg. Another one is Winnie Wong. People who are senior in the Bernie campaign are basically running the Sayed campaign in Michigan, which is interesting that Sayed, very early getting into the campaign, did that, adopted a very similar platform to Thanadar with $15 minimum wage, with the single-payer universal healthcare system. But his Bernie brand hasn't really taken off as much. And the primary reason for that is just the spending. You know, Thanadar is self-funding and spending a tremendous amount of money on the airwaves.
Let's talk about that. How much has he personally loaned to his campaign? Do we have an idea?
Yeah, so as of the latest disclosures, Thanadar has loaned $6 million to his campaign. He spent $2 million on television commercials. And I believe that of the three major candidates, he's the only one who spent anything on TV. And it's actually really working out for him, because in the latest polls, he's either the number one candidate or he's close to tied to number one if you look at the margin of error in the polling.
He actually bought an ad during the Super Bowl. That's incredible.
Yeah, he bought. Yeah, no, those are very expensive. And it's interesting, if you look at his ads, I think, you know, they're very unique, and I think they're well shot. One ad is, for instance, is a number of Michiganders trying to pronounce his name.
Oh, wait a second.
Sonadar is a,
we have it.
Unusual name.
We have it. Oh, okay. For people, so they can actually check it out. Take a listen.
Shree. Siri.
How can I help you?
Shree.
Ten radar?
Tanidar. Shree Tanidar.
Not Rick Snyder?
That's closer. Closer.
it's an actually very charming ad, regardless of your mm-hmm. political persuasion.
You know, I think it's a very clever ad. And like I said, I think if you roll back the clock 5-6 months, Thanadar was really nowhere in the polling. It was really considered to be a race between Sayed and also Gretchen Whitmer, who was kind of the establishment candidate, a former Senate leader. But I think after these ads started popping up, people liked them. I mean, they're well shot. And like I said, he spent $2 million on them, which is a considerable sum for a gubernatorial race to put on the airwaves.
Absolutely. So the other person you just mentioned, her, Gretchen Whitmer, she's sort of more establishment. Is that the idea?
Yeah, I mean, she has the support of more elected officials in Michigan. She has the support of a number of labor unions. And she's a former sort of Senate Democratic leader in the state legislature. So she has that sort of background and record. So I think, you know, both Thanadar and Sayed have postured as being sort of the outsider candidates, whereas she's kind of banking more on her experience. I think she's been in the legislature like, you know, 15 plus years or something like that.
And one other name popped up, but I don't know if he's viable or not. Is it Bill Cobbs?
Yeah, so there is another candidate, but that candidate really isn't necessarily registering or doesn't really have a large campaign.
Okay. Now, one of the things that's been dogging Thanadar is a lawsuit. Tell us what the lawsuit's about.
Yeah, so this is something I didn't focus too much on in the article. I did talk to him briefly about it. Basically, it's a lawsuit related to fraud. I think they're alleging that when he sold his last company, when he started a new company, that they had inflated the value of some of the assets, something similar to that. You know, Thanadar's response to that when I asked him, because this is an active lawsuit, was basically that, you know, he's taking the time to fight the lawsuit. He's not settling because he believes he didn't do anything wrong. And another response he had was that, you know, Ford Motor Company, which is a very large, prominent company in Michigan, obviously, you know, they get sued all the time. You know, that if you're a business of a certain size, you're going to face a certain number of lawsuits. And so, you know, he's kind of downplaying that. And, you know, it is also true that I believe that his former companies have been sued in the past. So it's not the first time it's happened to him. And I think the courts have sided with him on a number of occasions. But yeah, it's definitely the sort of thing that when you're a newbie political candidate, things that can blow up if the courts don't go your way.
He's also had a bit of a blow up on social media when he was trying to court the black vote. Tell people what happened with that Instagram post.
So that's funny. So this is, I don't know if people remember this with President Trump. You know, President Trump had that very funny moment, or kind of an awkward moment, when he sort of posed with a taco bowl saying, hey, you know, this is...
Happy Cinco de Mayo, wasn't it?
I think it was Cinco de Mayo. That's even funnier if that's true. But, you know, this is... but, yeah, I remember he got kind of rigged over the coals for that. It's very kind of awkward pandering. Well, you know, Thanadar, I believe it was it churches or Bojangles? I'm trying to remember, because I remember the tweet that you're referring to.
Yeah, he was trying to kill the black voters, and he did it at a very inappropriate place, let's say.
Yeah, I think he was eating fried chicken or something.
Yeah.
But basically, and the tweet, I think he deleted it. So I'm even seeing if I can pull it up now, but he deleted it. But basically, he was on his way to a meeting. I believe it was a Black Caucus meeting or some type of organization of African American voters in Michigan. So it was, you know, it was kind of his taco bowl moment, right? And I think he quickly realized that, which is why he deleted it pretty quickly.
It was a sort of a rookie mistake there. He's a mm-hmm. bit of a character. If you Google him, and there is a video of him from before all of this where he's doing a Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous tour of his enormous home, and he's welcoming people in and showing them his TV and his art and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Is there? I also read somewhere there's a plan that he wants to have a screenplay about his life.
Yeah, so I think he has a book out already. I haven't read it. I might, as this race goes on, I might read it. And he's also working on a second book, which I think is more themed to his gubernatorial race. His wealth and highlighting it is very important to him. I believe mm-hmm. what you just mentioned, it was a St. Louis TV show because he used to live in Missouri. Yeah, basically his house, he had many fancy cars. Mm-hmm. He currently has in his current house is like a theater that can seat 150 people or something like that, mm-hmm. where he likes to bring in sort of traditional Indian performances. People can stage, you know, shows and things like that. So certainly, you know, I think that's a big part of all his campaign pitch. He doesn't run away from that. You know, he talks about being rags to riches, about being sort of the immigrant story of coming to the U.S., making that money. And actually, when I was asking him about so his sort of political history and how to prove that, you know, he's this Bernie type guy, progressive guy, he postures, you know, he has built a posture where this is his explanation of why he's progressive, because he knows how it is to have nothing, and now he knows how it is to have a lot, that he wants everyone to be able to do that, right? Which is, I think, how if you look at the political system, a lot of rich candidates, I think, kind of use that way to sort of message their amount of wealth, that, you know, they're running for politics. They're running in politics because they have already made a really successful business. They're already really rich. The reason they're putting so much money into their campaign is because they want to help other people. And I think that's kind of how he's trying to message this.
Well, we'll see what happens in June at the primary. Zaid Jilani wrote about this in The Intercept. A Bernie-branded millionaire is leading the Democratic race for governor. He almost ran as a Republican, consultants say. Zaid, thanks for sharing your reporting with us.
Yeah, no problem. It was great to be here.